God is good.
All the time.
Praise the Lord.
And
now and forever.
Praise the Lord.
And how many of you here have been touched in a mighty way so far this weekend? Raise your hands. Have been touched by the Lord in a very special way. Touched by the Lord in a very special way. Amen?
Amen.
And before I start, I would like to tell a story. Is that okay? But the thing is, with stories, people tend to remember it more than the teaching. You know, one time this elderly man couldn't find his hat. He has lost his hat. I don't know where I lost my hat. And he said, but the thing is, he said, since Sunday I will go to a church, and he had a place there where men had their hat. Maybe I just go there and get one. So, Sunday came, and we went to the church, and there I was. But he was left with his gentleman, and his man looked at him, and ushered him inside the church, and took him to the second pew, and said, oh, I'm stuck here. I could not only smoke a hat. So he was seated on the second row of the church. Then later on, the priest came out from the priest's room and began teaching on the Ten Commandments. So after the teaching, this man came up to the priest and his father, thank you for the teaching of the Ten Commandments. It was really very good. He said, you know, I came here, I was going to steal a hat because I lost my hat. But since I heard your teaching, it changed my mind. And the priest said, maybe you're touched by the commandment number 7, thou shalt not steal. And he said, Father, not really. What commandment, really, completely your passage is? When you mention about commandment number 6, thou shalt not commit adultery, there I remember it. Anyway. Father Patsy, did you have that kind of experience? Okay, now we have a topic here, how to pray for healing and achieve results. How many of you have been involved or are being involved in the healing ministry? Raise your hands. Oh, there are probably about 10 people here. You know, my dream is to see everybody to be involved in the healing ministry, because it's one of the most effective tools of evangelization. Many people have been touched by the Lord, have become healed. They have known the healing, restoring, saving power of the Lord through healing. So I said, my dream is to see everyone to be involved in the healing ministry. Now, of course, there are people that are specially called by the Lord to pray for certain kind of illnesses, and they are very effective in, like some people are effective in praying for blindness or cancer or deafness and all of that. And some people are called to pray for mental illness and all of that. But
it doesn't preclude anyone from praying for the sick. As I mentioned to you earlier, that all you have to do is to use the name of Jesus, right? Jesus said so. He said, signs like this will follow those who believe. So you have to have faith and you have to use his name. He says, in my name, they shall be able to cast out demons. They shall be able to speak new languages. They shall be able to drink deadly poison. They shall be able to handle snakes without being harmed. And the sick whom they pray over will, what? Be healed, right? Will recover, right? So it doesn't preclude anybody from praying for the sick. As I said, you know, because we are all baptized. We are all baptized Christians. And if we have enough faith, as the gospel reading this morning shows, if you have enough faith, you can even command the mountain to move. And if you don't doubt, but you believe, it will move for you. Amen? Amen. Amen. So, how to pray for healing and achieve results? Now, I have listed down maybe 16 ways to pray for healing and achieve results. Number one, I put down here, have a constant, day by day and moment by moment, intimate relationship and fellowship with the divine healer, our Lord Jesus Christ. So without that kind of relationship with the Lord, there can be no real fruit, no real power in your life without this intimate relationship with the Lord. So without that, our prayers are not effective and they are devoid of power. Amen? Amen. So it's a constant day by day and moment by moment. Not only in the time when we need something, then we say, Lord, please, give me. My name is Jimmy. Many people sad to say only remember the Lord when they need something from him, right? When they're sick or when they run out of money or they run out of funds or when their wife leaves him or leaves them or the husband leave her. That's the only time they remember God, remember the Lord. But our relationship with the Lord should be day by day, moment by moment. Moment by moment, intimate relationship with the Lord. And St. Paul says, we have to pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Now, it doesn't mean that, you know, every hour or on the hour we pray the rosary, although it's good, if you can do that, yeah, that's great. But it doesn't mean that. Pray without ceasing is that our subconscious and conscious mind are always focused on the Lord. It means that our outlook should be always focused on the Lord and his Lordship. It means, you know, being aware of his presence in our lives all the time. I believe that is the meaning, what Paul meant when he said we should pray without ceasing. Amen? 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 So yes, we should have this relationship with the Lord. In other words, Jesus should be at the center of our lives. At the center of our lives. You know, that constant awareness of his presence, of his of his love for us. You know, I think in the book of John 15, I think it says, abide in me so that I will abide in you. If you abide in me and I abide in you, you may ask what you will, and it shall be given unto you. For without me you can do nothing. Amen? So we should have this constant presence with him, to abide with him every moment of our lives. Can we go on the next page, please? Have faith. Number two is we have to have faith. According to Hebrew chapter 11, verse 1, the definition of faith is the realization of what is hoped for and evidence of things not seen. And Jesus says in the book of Matthew chapter 17, the 20th verse, he says, I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. And I put down an example with a woman with a hemorrhage for 12 years. Now, but my brothers and sisters, in my experience, I said I've been going around in many places, and there are also people who told me, said, Bob, we don't. Okay. Thank you, Bob. Hear me better. Okay. Thank you, Lord. I forgot to turn this on. Bob, I love your name, you know? I don't know why, but I just like your name. So anyway, I said I've been to many places. I have the privilege to conduct many healing crusades, many healing services. There were people who came up to me later on. They said, we don't believe, we didn't believe in this prayer for healing. Some people told me, we thought that it's a scam. But he said, you know, he said, but we got healed. We didn't have any belief in this, much less, you know, our belief in the Lord. I mean, we thought that, you know, it's impossible. We don't believe at all in this, but we got healed. You know, I said, yes. I said, you know the reason why? Even though you don't have enough faith? Because I said, there are people who are there who have faith. People, the intercessory group, they've been praying for you. They have been praying for the sick. And the Lord honors that. That's why you got healed. And the faith of, and my faith also, I have faith that the Lord will heal people here. I have my faith, and the Lord honors that. And the faith of the many people who are attending the service. The Lord can use the faith to heal the unbelievers. To heal the unbelievers. So that's why. One time this man came up to me and says, Bob, you know, I came here because my wife had threatened me that if I don't come here, she told me I have to pay the consequences. And he said, Bob, I have had chronic back pain for at least over 20 years. Chronic back pain. And he said, I didn't believe in what you're doing. I thought it's magic or something. Or it's like selling snake oil or something. She says, I didn't believe. He says, but you know what? He said, my wife was very, 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 you know, what was the term that he used? Persistent. And he told me to come up. I says, I didn't believe. I just went through the motion of coming up, and when you lay hands on the people, I said, oh, okay. I'll just go, but I don't know what use it would be, you know. But he said, you know, you laid hands on me. I went down on the floor. He said, when I got up, I checked my back, the back pain for 20 years, over 20 years, gone. Praise God, huh? He didn't have he didn't have any faith, he said. So, but the thing is, we have, generally speaking, the Lord wants us to have faith in order to be healed. Now, chances are, people who have more faith are those people that are, generally speaking, receive the healing. So, you know, we should ask the Lord. If we don't have faith, we should ask the Lord. The Holy Spirit, one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is the gift of faith. Amen? Lord, give me more faith. Give me more faith. You know, and the example of that was this woman with the hemorrhage for 12 years. She had faith. Also that woman whose child was demon possessed. Remember her? She said that Jesus told her that I come to save the children of Israel, and Jesus told her that it's not right for me to feed the scraps to the dog. Remember? Yeah. So, but she said no. But I have, you know. He says, but Lord, even the dogs. What did she say? Eat the scraps. Yeah. So now Jesus was not saying that she was a dog, you know. But you know, see, I believe the Lord was testing her faith. And Jesus finally told her, woman, you are of great faith. It shall be done unto you what you have asked for me. So, you know, we have to have faith in order to receive a healing, generally speaking, okay? So what kind of faith? It's a charismatic kind of faith. A faith that can move. Right? There's a typing error here. You know, when I wrote it down, I was in a hurry, so can move the heart of God. Faith is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Always pray for protection for you and the people around you. Plead for the precious blood of Jesus and ask the Lord to surround you with his ministering angels. Amen? So, in other words, my brothers and sisters, before you even lay hands on the people, you have to pray for protection. Lord, cover me with your most precious blood. Amen? And Lord, I ask you to surround me with ministering angels, the angels of healings, the angels of virtues, the angels of power, St. Michael, Gabriel, Raphael. Surround me and minister with me in Jesus' name. Have that faith. Okay, number three. Ask questions and listen to the person you are ministering before you start to pray. Ask the name of the person and what kind of sickness does he has. Ask if she or he has pain and if he believes that Jesus still heals today by the power of the Holy Spirit. So that's when you know more about the sick by asking questions. Have you been to the doctor? What did the doctor tell you? Okay? And you ask questions. Like one time, this woman came up to me and she said, Bob, can you pray over me? I said, okay, what do you want me to pray for you? She said, Bob, you know, she said, I don't feel good. I don't feel right. I always am mad. And there's something in me. I think I have a demonic spirit. I said, really? She said, yep. I said, okay, so I laid hands on her. And somehow the Lord has impressed upon me that it was a hormonal problem. She believes she had a demon, you know. Women sometimes believe that you have a demon, but actually it's a hormonal problem. So she says, Bob, I always am mad, you know, something that put out any reason. I said, oh, that's the hormone of women, huh? Men don't have that kind of problem, right? Patrick? No, you don't have that kind of problem. Praise God, you know. I prayed over her and I said, you know what? It's not demon, it's a hormonal problem. She said, Bob, are you sure? I said, yeah, go see your doctor. So over a month later on, I saw her again. She said, Bob, you're right. You know, it's a hormonal problem. Do not conclude right away, oh, the demon is attacking me because I have these feelings, you know. But you have to discern, right? You have to discern. So anyway, ask the person whom you are praying over if, you know, what is the symptoms or what are the symptoms? What did the doctor say? You know, so in that way, you know how to pray for that person. If the person says, Bob, I have this problem. I have, you know, I feel like there's a demon in me. And Bob, you know, I have fear. And Bob, I have this pain in the stomach. And Bob, not only that, I have pain in my back. Now, you prioritize things, you know, what is the most, you know, I always go with what's the most serious problem. And then from there, pray like, if the person says he had a heart problem and it's very, very chronic, then I'll start with that. And then if the person says, not only have a heart problem, I have this pain on my stomach all the time, or pain in my back, you know. So I start with the heart, then the pain in the stomach, pray for the pain in the back, and all of so on and so forth. You prioritize things. I prioritize, this is how I do it. I'll pray first for the most serious problem and go down the line. That's how I do it. I think maybe some of you have different ways of doing it. Maybe you start from the least serious, then you end up with praying for the most serious problem, right? You can still do it. You know, I mean, I think it just depends on your priority, you know. But as I said, in my case, I'll go first at the most serious problem. Okay, so that's why we have to ask questions. Ask questions. You know, spend time to ask questions. Of course, like in, there were times when, like for instance, when I was in South Korea, there were 12,000 people there. And in Brazil, like 10,000 people. The Philippines, 12,000 people. You could not spend time with that, you know, with all those people. Usually you just pray a general prayer for healing. Like in South Korea, I remember, you know, there were, I think, about 10,000 people there. And the South Koreans were all, they all squatted on the floor. Oh, all 10,000 of them squatted on the floor, from the oldest to the youngest. And then in front of the stage, there were wheelchairs there. And so during the healing service, I just extended my hands, and then the Lord spoke into my heart, command all those wheelchair bound, to stand up and walk. And there must have been about over 30 of them. And I said, in Jesus' name, I command all those on wheelchair to stand up and walk in Jesus' name. And was praying in tongues. Over half of them stood up and started walking. And then in front, there were women. They all ran towards the stage, climb up on the stage, and they were fighting over my hands. It was the most scary thing that I have ever experienced. It was like a stampede. All women, they were fighting over my hands. And I almost fell down. I could, you know, they took my hands and put my hands wherever they want. I could feel some hard things and soft things and all of that. Yes, I was. It was scary. I told the priest, you know, that there, in the charismatic renewal in South Korea, they're all priests. I mean, the chairperson is a priest, and the members of the pastoral team are all priests. No lay people there. So I said, Father, if you don't tell them to go back there, I'll leave. Because this is scary. I almost fell down. Can you imagine? Fighting over my hands. Can you imagine? It was a scary thing. That was the first experience I've ever had. Like, people were stampeding towards you. You would be scared, right? You're fighting over my hands. I said, no, I was not the one who healed it. Jesus. Oh, that's a scary thing, you know. So, anyway, finally, I said, if you don't go back, I'll leave. They all went back. Dude. Thank God. They will all went back squatting on the floor. Yeah. So, you know, something like that, you cannot really, of course, talk to people person to person, you know. But in a group like this, you can. You can talk, you know. It's a smaller group, of course. So anyway, we have to ask questions. So in that way, we know how to proceed. Amen? Amen? Amen. Number four. Well, John 15 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, because without me you can do nothing. Yeah, I already mentioned that, right? If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you want. It will be done for you. You know what? This passage in Scripture makes me really excited. Can you imagine the promise of the Lord? Can you imagine the power behind those words? He says, if you remain in me and I remain in you, ask for whatever you want and it shall be given unto you. That's huge. Amen? Makes me excited. You know, every time I read this passage, my heart really feels like dancing. You know, one time, I got a call from Wisconsin, Michigan. And this lady says, Bob, my name is so-and-so, and I think Marucha or something like that. He says, my daughter, she is 4 months pregnant. She called me about, I think it was October. She said, Bob, my daughter is 4 months pregnant. Now, the doctor told her, because they had to have scan and sonogram and all of that, that the fetus had died in her womb. Had died in her womb. I said, really? I said, why? Why? Oh, we don't know what happened. Maybe there's a defect in the baby, in the fetus. The fetus died. So he says, Bob, tomorrow, my daughter is going to undergo this procedure to take the baby out from her womb. Otherwise, the dead fetus will cause harm to her, will poison her body. So they have to take this fetus out of her womb. I said, really? I said, yeah. So she said, Bob, can you pray over her right now? So I said, okay, where is she? And then the daughter, you know, says, hello. I said, yes. She said, yeah, can you pray for me for a successful procedure tomorrow? Because, of course, there's a risk, you know, doing this. I said, sure. So we prayed. I said, Lord, protect this lady and protect her as she undergoes this procedure in Jesus' name, and pray in tongues. I prayed in tongues, and the Lord spoke into my heart, and this is what the Lord said. My son, speak life into the fetus. Speak life into the fetus, you know. I said, okay, Lord. So I said it 3 times. In honor of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, I speak life into the dead fetus. In Jesus' name. I pray in tongues. And I said it again. Three times I said it. I said, okay, so let me know what happens tomorrow. I pray that the procedure also will be successful, you know. But anyway, just to calm her down, to calm the lady and her mom down. She said, we'll continue to pray. Nothing's impossible for the Lord. Never heard from them again. Until that was October. And then I received a call in March. That was 5 months later. He says, Bob, I just want to let you know that my daughter yesterday has delivered a healthy 10-pound baby boy. Can you imagine? So I can say with humility, because it was not me who did it, it's the Lord, that He uses me, in spite of myself, to raise a dead person to life, right? Can I make that claim? Amen?
Amen?
In spite of me, the Lord uses me to raise this baby boy to life. Wow, I said, amazing. It's in the book. I put down her testimony in my book, Miracles Never Ending. You can read that in that book. So my brothers and sisters, if the Lord can use me to raise someone from the dead, this is the reason why He cannot use you. Amen?
Amen.
Now, point a finger to yourself. He says, Lord Jesus, if you can use Bob, sure you can also use me. To raise somebody from the dead. In Jesus' name. Amen. Yes. No doubt at all. Jesus says in the book of John 14, verse 12, He said, the works that I do, you can do also. Because I'm going to the Father. Can you imagine the enormity of that statement? The works that I do, you can do also? Now, what are the works of Jesus? What are the works of Jesus? Giving money? What did you say? Giving money to the poor? What are the works of Jesus? Raising the dead to life. Preaching the good news, making the blind see, the deaf hear, and what? Multiplying food, yes. Those are the works of Jesus. And He said, the works that I do, you will do also. Isn't that exciting?
Yes.
It's exciting, amen?
Amen?
Yes, you can do it too, no doubt. And my brothers and sisters, now, let me ask you, how many of you are doing the works of Jesus? Raising the dead to life, making the blind see, making the deaf hear, the lame walk. How many of you are being used by the Lord or are doing it? Because the Lord says, the works that I do, you can do also. Raise your hands. Only two people here? Three? We are in big trouble. That's why many sick are still sick because you are not using you. Okay? Many dead are still dead because you don't want to raise them to life. Patrick, did somebody say, Patrick, can you go with me to the morgue?
No?
If somebody will say that to you,
then I will go.
Yeah, you will go. Now, supposing the dead will say, why did you raise me to life? What will be your answer? Huh?
I wouldn't know.
That's good. I know, but I mean, seriously speaking, I was just kidding. Seriously speaking, we can do the works of Jesus. Because who said so? Jesus say so. And does he lie?
No.
No. So that's why the world is dark, you know, spiritually. You know, because people like you and me also are not doing the works of Jesus the way he wants us to do it. We are not doing it. So do the works of Jesus. Of course, we have to wait for the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Amen? We have to wait for the leadings of the Holy Spirit. We have to be led by the Holy Spirit. We have to be anointed by the Holy Spirit. We have to be under control of the Holy Spirit. We have to follow the leadings of the Holy Spirit in order for us to be used mightily of the Lord. Amen? But we are what we call we can be used as a vessel by the Lord. Do not say, I'm not worthy. I used to use that line. No, I'm a sinner. Oh, Lord, I'm not worthy. That's not for me, you know. I used to say those words. And one day the Lord told me, my son, I died for you on the cross in Calvary. I made you worthy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Yes, brother.
When you were praying for the healing of the little boy over there, the Lord was moving me. He said, get up there and you're going to kneel on the floor and put your hand on his foot. And I thought, well, it's your ministry right now. And so, you know, I thought I shouldn't do it. I didn't want to get in the middle of it. But I know it's the Lord
nudging you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's probably a confirmation of the prompting that I also received. You know what I mean? Huh? Yeah, that could be because you said that you have a nudging from the Lord. To you, right? Yeah. Maybe, yeah, because I also received a nudging to pray for Aiden here and confirmation, you know. So praise God. It's very exciting, you know. It's very exciting. It's very exciting. Okay. Now, lay hands on the sick. Number four, lay hands on the sick. Jesus says, if you believe, you can lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover. Laying on of hands could be your point of contact in releasing your faith in God. It is something tangible, and when you do it, you release your faith towards the Lord. Example of this is a woman with a hemorrhage. She said, if I could only touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. It's a point of contact. Point of contact, you know. My hands cannot heal, but the Lord, his power of healing flow from him through me and to the sick. But, and then again, I don't have to lay hands on the sick and they get healed. So because he's sovereign. But most of the time, when somebody comes up to me and says, can you pray over me? I have this, I have that kind of sickness. And I do it, you know. But there were instances, especially during healing crusade or healing services, that I don't even lay hands on them and they just get healed. Because that is his will. He's sovereign. He can do anything he wants. The Bible says Jesus laid hands on many people and healed them. So this is me speaking now. When I lay hands on the sick, I'm allowing the power of the Lord to flow through my hands into the sick person. I cannot heal. My hands cannot heal. Only the Lord's hands can heal. Touch gently on the forehead or on the shoulder of the person. Be discreet as to where you lay your hands. Yes, you know, some people, I see this, you know, like a man laying hands on the woman, and sometimes they touch some sensitive areas. Now, men should be careful about that. You know, just touch the forehead. That's all. One time, this lady told me, she said that she had cancer of the breast. She said, can you pray over me? Sure. And so I prayed over her. She says, I don't mind if you touch it. That's what she told me. She must have been very desperate. She said, I don't mind if you touch my breast. I said, you know what? I would rather not. Because supposing somebody will walk by and see me touching your breast, he may say that I am taking advantage of you. What is Bob doing? You know. So we have to be discreet, right? We have to be discreet. So I told her, I said, you know, no offense, but I would rather not. Because, you know, I mean, maybe there's nothing wrong between the two of us, nothing wrong with that, but how about those who will see us? We don't want to create a scandal, right? So we have to be discreet, especially in sensitive parts of a person's body. Same thing with a woman, you know. You know, that's why I encourage always, if you pray over the sick, it should be two by two. If you are praying for a woman, and if you're a man, get another woman with you. Amen? We have to be discreet as to where to pray. Or, you know, some, I've seen somebody praying over a person, and this person was massaging this woman, you know, massaging the head, massaging the shoulder. I said, that's not necessary. Why do you massage? The Lord says, lay hands on the sick, not massage on the sick. Right? He was saying, oh, I was led by the Holy Spirit. I said, no, you have to, you know what? I said, we have to use our common sense. But the thing with common sense is very uncommon. Sometimes common sense is not so common, right? Oh, I was just prompted by the Holy Spirit. No. You can control it yourself. Do not say I'm prompted by the Holy Spirit to massage her. No way. That's not right either. You know, that's not right. So I said, wow, this is, you know, we should not create something that's scandalous or offensive. We have to be careful. This is the work of God that we are doing. It's the work of God. So we have to really be careful. So when you lay hands on the person, just touch gently on the forehead, you know, and not massaging him, massaging the back, massaging the shoulder. Yes. Yeah. We have to be discreet. Amen? Yeah. That's common sense. Common sense. As I said, sad to say, the common sense is not so common anymore. It's not so common. Okay. Use the name of Jesus. The book of John, chapter 16, verse 23, Jesus says, amen, amen, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in his name. I was in Malaysia last year, and there were thousands of people there and in the church. And this man came up. He was saying, I'm going to kill you. He was doing his hands like this. He was walking towards me. And this man, the eyes were so piercing and angry. I'm going to kill you like this. And he was getting closer to me. I said, uh-oh, what's wrong here? And I said, in the mighty name of Jesus, I command you to stop. In Jesus' name, I command you to stop. You know this man? Stop right here. Stop right on his tracks. He could not move. In the presence of people there, he could not move. He's trying to struggle to kind of move his feet, and he could not move. Can you imagine the power of the name of Jesus? So I went up to him, and in Jesus' name, I used the cross, and by the blood of I rebuke you, you foul spirit, spirit of violence, spirit of criminality, spirit of divination. You know, I used this cross, and then later I keep on praying over him, and he went down on the floor. And then he come down. And then he said, you know, I talked to him afterwards, and he said, I don't know what happened to me. He said, I was not aware what I was doing. He says, I remember that I went up to you. He says, you know why? Because if, you know, since the first time I saw you, I'm so angry at you. You don't know me, I don't know you, but why is it that I wanted to harm you bad. I said, you know what? The evil spirit in you could not stand the Holy Spirit in me. That's the only explanation I can, you know, that I gave him. And he said, you know, she said, I'm so ashamed now. He says, I know a lot of people there. I said, do not be ashamed. I said, you know, it was not, you are not in total control of yourself. You were in control of the evil spirits. And can you imagine, had he succeeded in strangling me, I don't have a chance. This guy was taller than me and he's more muscular than me. But in the name of Jesus, this guy went down on the floor. And he was not Catholic. He was a Muslim. This guy was a Muslim. You know, and so I prayed over him and we prayed and he said, you know what? I'm thinking about becoming a Catholic. I said, that's good. Yeah, that's good. Pursue it, you know. But can you... The name of Jesus is power, my brothers and sisters. One time, we were in the Holy Land. And one day, we were having this cruise to the on the Sea of Galilee where we were. In one point, we were going to Tiberias, on the Sea of Galilee, going to Tiberias. And at that time, it was snowing in Jerusalem. It was very windy, stormy. And there were 42 in the group. And I said, well, he says, I told him, because I was the tour leader, I said, we are going on a cruise in the Sea of Galilee. And how many of you are going? You know, of course, it's stormy. He says, are we going? I said, well, many people say we might as well go because this is their first time to be in the Holy Land and then the first time to be in this kind of experience. And they said they might not be able to come again. We might as well go. So I said, how many of you are going? Of the 42, I said, how many are going? About half, 40, 22, raise their hands. Yeah, we are going. By all means, we would like to go. So I have no choice. I've been to the Holy Land like 3 times prior to that trip. I said, well, since I'm the tour leader, I'll go with you. And you know what? It was raining hard, and we were on the pier waiting for the small boat, and the boat was dancing in the waves. And, you know, it was stormy. And we had to literally jump into the boat from the pier, you know, because... You know, the boat was rocking back and forth. And the moment we departed from the pier, you know, the priest, our spiritual advisor, my former parish pastor, he started to pray. And then afterwards, after he prayed, he started to sing the Michael, Michael, row your boat ashore. But the boat was dancing in the waves, you know, and the waves was splashing over the boat, you know. And so I said, you know, this is a very stormy boat. So, but I managed to go to on the starboard side of the boat and said, can we command the storm to stop in Jesus' name? I said, you know why? Because I believe the Lord wanted us to experience what the apostles had experienced before. Remember? There was a storm and they were in the boat and Jesus was asleep in the boat. Remember? And what they commanded and they woke Jesus up and Jesus just rebuked the wind and the storm, right? Because he said, the first time for a long time that it snowed in Jerusalem was a very stormy day. So I said, let's command the wind and the storm to stop in the mighty name of Jesus. So everybody, I said, right now we say, in Jesus' name, command the storm to stop. I said, Lord, you did it long time ago here, but you are present here among us. You are present, Lord, in Jesus' name. You know, we use the name of Jesus. Command the storm to dissipate and the rain to stop in Jesus' name. You know what? Halfway between the Sea of Galilee, we were about halfway to Tiberias. The rain had stopped. The wind had quieted down. The sun came out. And all we heard was just the chirping of the birds flying overhead. Amazing calm came. And this was a breeze that came and kind of caressed everyone, you know. And I said, I asked the boat operator, please turn off the engine of the boat. And the boat just laid, you know, there still, very still. I said, let us be quiet. And we praised the Lord quietly. And we did it for 10, 15 minutes. It was amazing. It was amazing. And can you imagine the power of the name of Jesus? Amazing, right? If you say the name of Jesus with faith, with love, if you say it to glorify His name, power comes. Power comes, like what happened to Eden here. Remember, everybody said, in Jesus' name, right? We command the blindness to be healed in Jesus' name. Power came. Same thing with us. If we use the name with power, with love, with expectant faith, power comes. So use the name of Jesus. Use the name of Jesus in Jesus' name, okay? God greatly exalted him and has bestowed on him that name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen? Amen. When I commanded the lame to walk, I used the name of Jesus. I used the name of Jesus because Jesus' name is power. The name that is above every name. The name that is more powerful than any power, than any name in this world. Okay, next. Apply by faith the precious blood of Jesus and His precious healing hands unto the sick person and unto the parts of the person's body which are diseased. For instance, you pray, Lord, I apply by faith your precious blood that you shed on the cross in Calvary into this person's liver or heart or where his sickness might be. Just visualize it. Visualize it in your mind. Jesus on the cross in Calvary and His blood oozing from His body. And visualize that same blood that is touching the person's cancer, for instance. Cancer of the liver. Visualize his liver being saturated with the blood of Jesus. Or his blindness, his eyes being saturated with the blood of Jesus. There is power in the blood of Jesus. Amen? The blood of Jesus cleanses us. There's a song. There's a song, right, Jim? What song was that? Can you start? You cannot sing it? It says, now, do not laugh at me, okay? It says, it's your blood that cleanses me. It's your blood that gives me life. It's your blood that took my place in redeeming sacrifice and cleanses me whiter than the snow, oh, than the snow, my Jesus, God's precious sacrifice. Remember, Jim, you taught me how to sing that song? Yeah. I did not get it enough the way you wanted me to sing it, but it's okay. At least I can still remember the words, right? It's the blood, amen? So apply. Visualize the Lord touching the sick with His precious blood. Next, how much time do I have left? A lot of time, huh? Praise God. Okay. Be open to the Holy Spirit. In the book of Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18 says, do not be filled with wine, which only brings debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now Jesus says that the Holy Spirit will teach us all the truths. Amen? In order for us to minister like Jesus, we have to be filled with the Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit, controlled by the Holy Spirit, anointed by the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit. We have to be filled with Jesus, the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. Yes, we have to follow his leadings. You know, while in the Holy Land, on that same trip, we have I was scheduled to do a healing crusade in the Miriam Church in Bethlehem. Miriam Church, you know, how many of you have been to the Holy Land? To Bethlehem? Almost everybody here, right? I'd like to go with you when you go next time, okay? Oh, by Patsy, do you have an extra space? I see. About now, you're going, right?
No, I just came back.
You just came back, huh? Okay. Yes. I've been there, Father. I've been there 11 times. But I'd like to go again. Something, every time I go there, I discovered something new. Yes. Anyway, one time, my fourth visit there, we're scheduled on a healing crusade in Miriam Church. Miriam Church, Father, is a church like to the, you know, remember the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem? Miriam Church is north of it, like three blocks north of the Church of Nativity. So we were there to conduct a healing crusade. When inside the church was packed with mostly Arab Christians. And there were about 52, 58 of us there in that pilgrimage, you know. So his name is Father Yaakov. You know, he has a beard like yours, Father Patsy, but his is longer, you know, and more pointed to down like this. You know, and then he said, oh, Bob, you're here for healing. I said, yes, Father. And then he said, oh, I'd like to show you this 1,000-year-old Bible. 1,000-year-old Bible. It's a huge Bible. Think like that. Huge, you know, and it's yellow with age. What can you expect? 1,000-year-old. It was amazing. You know, I look at the pages. Wow. I said, at least I was able to see this 1,000-year-old Bible. And then he said, okay, so you are here for healing. I said, yes, Father. I said, what is he? Why is he saying that twice already? You are here for healing. I said, yes, Father. He said, oh, I know of somebody who needs healing bad. I said, okay, Father. I said, this church is really packed with Arab Christians. He said, yeah. She says, I have a friend here. And then he said, George! George! And then later on, this guy and this lady with him walking from the entrance towards the altar. And he says, Bob, you know, when the two of them came close to the altar, he says, Bob, this is George. I said, okay. I look at George, all whites in his eyes. And he said, Bob, George, as you can see, is blind. I said, yes, Father, I could see that. And he said, Bob, he's been blind since birth. I said, really, really, Father? He said, yeah. I said, okay, how old is he, Father? He says, Bob, how old do you think it's George? I said, maybe in his 50s. He said, yeah, you're right. He's 58 years old. He's been blind since birth. And then he said, Bob, he's yours. And then he'd walk away. He walked away like this, you know. And he stationed himself next to the altar and folded his arms like this with a half smile on his face. He probably was thinking, let me see what he can do. I said, I look at George. He was right in front of the altar. I said, Lord,
look at George, I need help here. And then all those Arab Christians, they have their eyes focused, you know, they were looking like this. The church was filled, you know, they were looking and they were very silent. And I said, everybody here, extend your hands, we'll pray for George. I laid hands on, I said, Lord, I was talking to myself, I said, Lord, I need help big time, you know. Help! And I said, Lord, I said, you were born in this place. I said, Lord, your reputation is at stake. I said, you're probably walking around when you were maybe in your youth. You're probably walking around in this part of Bethlehem. You probably had set foot on this place. I said, Lord, heal this man. I said, Lord, I need you, Lord. I need a big backup from you. I was talking to him. I said, we keep on praying. So we pray. Jesus, I was desperate. I said, Lord, what will happen with this guy? You know, and the priest was there smiling, half smile, you know. He probably said, let's see what he can do, you know. I said, Lord, I need you. I need your help. So we prayed. And then later on, he was crying. George was crying. He had an interpreter, by the way, and he says, what is he saying? He was saying something. He says, oh, he said that he can see shadows. Really? Let's keep on praying. I said, I was a little bit excited. Then later on, he said he can see lights. And we keep on praying. We keep on praying. And then later on, he said he can see like a silhouette of me. Then later on, he said he can see my head. He can see what I'm wearing. Okay, so, and then he was describing to me, you know, what I was wearing, and he was describing to me my hair, and said, he can see light, and he can see now clearer and clearer. I said, praise God. And so I asked the interpreter, he said, he can see me? And he said, yes. He said, he can see you now. I said, really? Ask him if he likes what he sees, you know. Of course, you know, why is it when I ask the person if he likes what he sees, in me, they always are silent. I think they don't want to tell the truth, right? So anyway, he was able to see. I said, tell him to, no, that's what I did to Eden. If he can see me, tell him to follow what I do. He followed everything. Boy, that broke the house down there. And suddenly, those Arab Christian women, they ran towards me. I said, my gosh. And they also, you know, like the South Koreans, those people are very emotional. Oh, Lee hands on me. I said, okay, you know. But they did not fight over my hands. Thank God, not like the South Koreans, you know. But they wanted you to touch them, each one of them. And then, a year and a half later, we went back to the same church, Mariam Church, not for the healing service, but I wanted to see Father Yakov. I said, Father Yakov, and he was there. I said, Father Yakov, remember me? He said, yeah, who could forget you? He said. I said, Father, where is George? The name of the blind man was George. Oh, he said, George? He says, Bob, you could no longer find George here. You know, I thought something happened to him. I said, why, Father? No, you could not longer see him here. Ever since he got healed, hardly see him here. I said, why, Father? Oh, he's been out there sightseeing. Sightseeing, can you imagine? Can you blame the man? No. 58 years of being blind? You cannot blame him. He's out there sightseeing, you know. You could hardly see him, he said. So, you know, it's amazing. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. You know, praise God. Okay, we have to be open to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit says, pray, you know, or sometimes the Holy Spirit says, do not pray for him or for her. I said, why, Lord? For a reason. I don't know. But they were inside, very rare, though. Do not pray for him or her. So I have to obey. So I said, well, you know, we'll just ask for a blessing for you, you know. So I did not pray for healing. I don't know why, but we have to be obedient to him. Because according to the Lord, the word of God says obedience is better than sacrifice, submission than the fat of rams. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. Anyway, casting out the spirit of hatred or breaking curses from the person we are ministering. One time I was praying over this person, and the moment I laid hands on this person, the Lord says, cast out the spirits of infirmity, the spirit of affliction, the spirit of heaviness and bondage. So I have to obey. I have to obey. Spirit of heaviness and bondage, spirit of affliction begun, the spirit of infirmities begun. So we have to be specific in our prayers. So in other words, you have to ask question, and you say, what is bothering you? And you would say, oh, I have this, you know, cancer of, let's say, cancer of the stomach or cancer of the pancreas, whatever. You say, so we have to direct our prayers towards the healing of that sickness in Jesus' name. And always listen to the Holy Spirit. Always listen to his words. Because the Lord wants to talk to us. Do you know that? The Lord wants to communicate with us. Bad. And you might say, Bob, where is your proof? My proof is read in the book of Genesis. If you read the book of Genesis and it says, and God says, right? How many of you have read the book of Genesis? And what does it say? And God says. So, in other words, he wants to talk. He wants to communicate, right? If we only have ears to listen to him, we need to listen to him. Not like, you know, I used to do this, by the way. Lord, please do this and do that. Because if you don't do this, if you don't do that, this will be like this and this will be like that. Amen, Lord. I'll see you again tomorrow. Without giving him a chance to speak to me. And I would say goodbye. And the Lord probably say, wait, I have something to tell you. No more, because you cut the communication out. We have to listen. I think we spend more time listening to the Lord than us telling something to the Lord what to do, right? We have to listen to him more. Amen? Amen. He wants to communicate with us. He wants to talk to us. But we have to listen to him. So we have to obey, you know. Ask and you shall receive. Be creative in your prayers. Do a build a prayer. What do you mean build a prayer? For instance, you pray for a dead person. A build a prayer is when you ask the Lord for brand new eardrums, brand new auditory nerves, and other. Like, let's say, who's deaf last night, right? We prayed for creative miracles, right? And they got healed. How many of you were healed of deafness last night? Raise your hands. Where are you? Our sister here. Can you come up here? Can you come up? Tell us what happened. Tell us what happened. Maybe you don't have to make it long. Tell us what happened. Come over here. Oh, the two of you, huh? We're healed. And of course, our brother also here. Can you come up here? Tell us. Tell us in a few words what happened. What happened?
I'm able to hear.
Okay, here. I will give you my mic. Okay, here. So that they can hear you. Oops. Okay.
After I got prayed over, I'm able to hear without my hearing aids.
Praise God.
And I came here not expecting any healing. I actually came here to pray for our grandson, and God is so, you know, wonderful. I didn't know he had that in store for me. Praise God.
Praise God. See? No more hearing aid.
No more. Okay, what happened again?
As I said, the Lord spoke to my heart after you prayed and said to be open to hearing the Holy Spirit. And to when you prayed, interestingly enough, you prayed for the eardrums, and you prayed there had been my great-grandmother, my aunt had been deaf. And so you prayed about the curse of deafness. Thank you, Lord.
Praise God.
And I can hear. And I know it has everything woven into my spiritual life.
Amen.
That I hear the Holy Spirit and obey Him.
Amen. I receive a prompting to break the curses upon you.
I knew it when
yeah.
I saw that.
Yes.
That was what the Holy Spirit had given you.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. So we have to obey the Holy Spirit. Don, tell us what happened.
To be honest, completely honest, when I was called forward, I didn't want to come up here. And the reason I didn't want to come is because I had to walk. And I have had for the past 3 days a serious bursitis on my patella, my knee. And I was in a tremendous amount of pain. And just standing up was impossible for me to do. Didn't even think that I would be here this weekend. But with the help of a doctor and some steroids, I was feeling some relief. But when I was asked to come forward, I didn't want to because it hurt. And I limped all the way up here and stood here for prayer, took my hearing aids off, and Bob prayed for my ears. And I'm not sure about the hearing. I'd probably have to get a hearing test to see if I had any improvement. But when I walked back to my seat, I had no pain in my knee.
Thank the Lord. So the Lord give you something extra also.
Yes.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. So, my brothers and sisters, that's the, we have to do some, what we call, build up prayers. Like if a person, you know, like many people, many couples, they came up to me and they said, Bob, we've been trying to be pregnant, you know, and we've been trying for a long time. And one couple says, Bob, they tried the in vitro fertilization. It's very expensive. Said they had tried it twice, didn't work. And this couple from San Francisco, you know, we prayed over them. Two couples, so we prayed over them, and then maybe 2 years later, I came back to the same church in San Francisco. I said, any testimony? Because I was here 2 years ago, and this couple came up, and the woman says, the husband and the wife came up, and the lady first spoke up, and she said, my brothers and sisters, she said, my husband and I had this tried in vitro fertilization, didn't work, you know, we wanted to be pregnant and didn't work so far. She said, but the thing is, she said, Bob came here about 2 years ago, and she said they prayed for us for us to have a baby, and she said, you know what, my brothers and sisters, she said, Bob made me pregnant, you know. I look at her, I said, please don't blame me. I did not do it, you know. I did not make you pregnant. I said, I'm sorry, you know. But she said that year, she had a baby girl. She got pregnant like 2 months after we prayed over her. Amazing things, you know. And I have pictures of babies that many couples sent to me. Bob, you know, thank you
for making me pregnant, you know. I said, I write back, no, I did not make you pregnant. I just prayed for you, you know. Because I was afraid that the next thing that they would send me, please give me child support, you know. Bob made me pregnant. I'm, you know, so many. We have testimonies in the book. So many women got pregnant, you know. You know, some, they have tried over and over again. No, but can you imagine? I said, wow, it's amazing. It's amazing. So, you know, one time this, you know, I was speaking somewhere, and I think it was in Chicago, and this MC says, okay, women who would like to get pregnant, see Bob, you know. I had a reputation. I don't know, it's good or bad. He says, everywhere where Bob goes, somebody always gets pregnant. He said, I don't know if it's a good reputation or bad. I'm not sure. So anyway, now, okay, number 9, call the things that are not as though they are. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. Now, what do you mean? You might ask. Next page. Oh, there's an explanation. Let's say, call the things that are not as though they were, right? I said, like this, where's Eden? Eden. You can see me. Really? Yes, huh? Keep up your, you know, just keep on saying, yes, the Lord makes me see again. Can you imagine? No more eyeglasses. Now, when we prayed over you, we said, Lord, thank you for healing Eden, for giving him vision in his right eye. Even though at that time, we didn't know yet, right? But I knew deep inside of me that the Lord was healing him of blindness. Thank you, Lord, for healing Eden like this. Thank you, Lord. You know, so in other words, I call the things that are not as though they were, even though he has not verified it yet. I already thank the Lord for healing him in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Now, what are you going to say to your classmates when you see them on Monday? Let me get this mic so that they can hear. We would like to know what you are going to say to your classmates, to your friends, to your friends.
The Lord made me see.
You're good. You're going to be a preacher when you grow up, like Father Elon. Huh? What did he say? Yeah, yeah. You're going to be like Father Andy. You like to be like Father Andy? Really? You don't want to be a millionaire? You like to be Father Andy, right? He's a millionaire. Do you know that? No? Father. Your parents will say, we don't know that. He's a millionaire. You don't know that, huh? I'll tell you later on. No. Okay. It says, use the name of Jesus. We already talk about that. We already talk about that. How about calling the things that are not as though they were? What happened? Okay. Use the command of faith with authority. Yeah. Jesus says, I have given you the authority to trample on the snakes and the scorpions and all the forces of the enemy. Amen? Amen. So you command the sickness to go in Jesus' name. You command it in Jesus' name. Because the Lord says, I have given you the authority to trample on the snakes and the scorpions and all the forces of the enemy, and nothing shall ever harm you. So use your God-given authority. We have the authority to use his name. So You pray for healing. I got 10 more minutes. Okay. So you just command the sickness to go in Jesus' name. Use the command of faith with authority. You know, like one time I was watching this during our healing service in our parish. We have once a month healing service, mass and healing service. We have, by the way, every Saturday is our prayer meeting. And then every third Saturday, we don't have a prayer meeting, but we have a mass and healing service. And we have teams, healing teams, you know. We have been having the mass and healing service since 1989. And it's been going on until now. And it's getting bigger and bigger every year. We have people from even out of state who come to our mass and healing service. You know, one time, you know, this was early on. We trained the healing teams, and I observed one time they were praying over this lady, and this lady went down on the floor and manifesting some demonic spirits in her, and this member of the healing team was saying, "In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name," and he was walking backwards. I think he got scared, you know. And I said, "Well, when you pray over the sick and you see the manifestations, something like that, take that person out right away. Maybe you can take that person." So I told the members of the healing team, take the person out, put her in a private room, you know. Do not be shouting. You know, this person was shouting. I said, "The demonic spirit is not deaf. Do not shout, okay?" And, you know, because he was afraid. I could see that he was scared. You know, so you use it with authority. But something like that, you have to bind the spirits first. Then take that person out of the public's view, because it's very humiliating sometimes for people to be seen like that, right? So we have to consider that. So if you see manifestations, you bind up the spirit and take that person away from the public view. Take that person to a private room, you know. So we have a private room reserved for that purpose. So, but the thing is, we have to use the command with authority, okay? Number 11, give praise to God's goodness and His love and for the healing that He's doing and about to do. The book of Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, the word of God says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." So praising the Lord, you know, we have to praise the Lord. When you pray over the sick, thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord, that you are healing Eden, that you are making him whole again. In Jesus' name, we praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Right? You praise him. You praise the Lord. Because he is the one who is the healer. He is the healer. Number 12, Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, verse 15, the word of God says, "Through him let us continually offer God a sacrifice of praise that is fruit of lips which acknowledge his name." Number 12, seal the healing with the precious blood of Jesus. So in other words, you always seal it, okay? Because sometimes people, you know, do you have any experience sometimes when you pray over the sick and they got healed, and then 2 weeks later, they're back on having the same illness again? Because you probably have forgotten to seal the healing in the name of the Father or the Son or the Holy Spirit. You can either seal the healing with in the name of the Father, Son, or the Holy Spirit, or seal the healing with the precious blood of Jesus, so that sickness will not come back. And you can even say these words, "I command you, foul spirit of sickness, not to molest this person ever again." In Jesus' name, I seal the healing with the blood of Jesus. I think you heard me say that today, right? Always seal the healing so that sickness will not come back. Amen?
Amen.
I think my time is up, but the Lord's time is still on, right?
Yes.
So now, what's the next program? Break? Break? Okay, can we stand first? Can we stand? And can we pray first? You know, we are never tired of praying. Amen? The more prayers, the better. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, we cannot thank you enough for healing us. And we cannot thank you enough, Lord, for your presence here among us. And we believe, Lord, that you are the God who heals, that your will is for us to be healed. And Lord, you want what is best for us, O Lord. And we thank you and we praise you. And Lord, we know that nothing is impossible for you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Now, I have a prompting here, and I have to obey his prompting. Is that okay? We have another 10 minutes, at least? Okay. I have a prompting to pray for the blind. I think the Lord is on a roll. In a roll. To heal blind people. You blind, ma'am? Are you blind? Are you blind?
Am I blind?
Blind. You cannot see?
I don't see out of this eye.
You cannot see your right eye? Yeah, okay. Now,
excuse me, I have a multiple heart condition.
You have a multiple heart condition. It's easy for the Lord. Yeah, if the Lord can raise the dead to life, heart problem is easy for him.
Raise me.
Yes. And Eden is healed of blindness. Now you are blind on your right eye. He was blind on his left eye, right? Now, I think the Lord wants it balanced, right? He's always well balanced, amen? He's funny too. Yeah, could you stand behind her just in case she would fall down, okay? Thank you, Lord. Thanks, Patrick. Now, extend your hands. You are the members of the healing ministry, amen? Everybody here is a member of the healing ministry. Your prayers are powerful. What is the cause of that blindness?
I don't know.
You don't know? One day you just woke up and...
No, I went to the doctors. They told me.
They told you that you cannot see, huh? Well, Dr. Jesus is more powerful.
Right.
Thank you, Dr. Jesus. Glory to you, Father. Praise you, Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And the O Lord, we cannot thank you enough for healing our sister here. Lord, we praise your name. You are the mighty one of God. You are the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Let your name be glorified by healing our sister's right eye. Handaria, si kalaramba, si andaria, and si andio. In Jesus' name, we speak of creative miracles for brand new eyes. Brand new and cornea, brand new inner eye, brand new tissues, brand new optic nerves, brand new pupils, brand new nerves, brand new ligaments in the eye. In Jesus' name, handaria si kalaramba si andaria si andio. Your foul spirit of blindness, come out, begone from our sister here, in Jesus' name. Lord, give her brand new eyes. Brand new eyes, brand new eyes, in Jesus' name. We apply by faith your precious healing blood, your precious healing touch. Touch the socket in the eye, all the nerves in the eye, all the muscles in the eye. Be healed. The cornea, the iris, the pupils, the lenses to be brand new in Jesus' precious name. For nothing at all is impossible for you. Shikalaramba shiandaria. Hambarian di si andio. Hakalaramba shiandaria. Come, Father. Come, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Glory to your holy name. Thank you, Lord. We have, Lord, saturate her eye with your most precious blood. The same blood that you shed on the cross in Calvary be upon our sister. What's your name again?
Stella.
Lord, your daughter Stella loves you and she has faith in you, Lord. And we have faith in you because you are the master healer, Lord Jesus. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And nothing is impossible for you. She kalaramba si ambara. Hambari and the sea and the we command the nerves in the eyes that connects to the brain to be healed and her vision to be healed in Jesus' name and the darkness to be gone completely in the mighty name and the blood of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Handari and the sea kalaramba. Handi sea and the we rebuke curses, hexes, spells, evil wishes, evil desires, evil prophecies, evil intentions, evil words against her eyes, against her health. We rebuke them and we render them ineffective and we render them to be null and void in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit by the blood of Jesus. With the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for healing our sister Stella. Thank you, Lord, for the brand new eyes. Praise your holy name. And we seal the healing in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. And amen. And cover your right eye and left eye. Cover your left eye. Cover it with your hand. And if you can see me, open your right eye. If you can see me, follow what I do, okay? Follow what I do. Use your right hand. Follow what I do. You see everything.
I see you.
Huh?
I see you.
You see me. Close your left. I was only your, yeah, left eye. You can see me.
I can see you, but it's still a little blurry.
But you can see me.
Not like I see now.
Okay, so you can see me. Huh? How do I look?
Well,
Don't say anything that's bad. Okay.
I can hardly see you.
I'm just kidding. Okay, you can see me. Okay, what? How do I look?
Well, I don't see you as I would with two eyes.
Huh?
Kind of blurry.
Kind of blurry?
Yeah.
Me?
Yeah.
My hands you can see. Okay? So it's the reason maybe is that now you are seeing my hands and maybe a few minutes from now you can see my face. Okay? Focus.
Yeah.
You can see me now.
Not as good as my
left. But you can see.
Sort
of. Okay. How do you describe me?
Well, you're a little blurry. Your eyes are not.
I'm a little blurry.
Yeah, I don't see your eyes that great.
You cannot see my eyes that great. Uh-huh. How about my nose?
Of course.
You can see my nose, huh? Okay. So how about my mouth? Yeah, you can see. My hair. You can see my hair. Oh, so you can see about 90% already. Praise God. Praise God. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Whereas before, nothing at all. What a big improvement. Huh? Huh? Praise God. And now, here again. I'll keep a distance. Close your left eye. Okay, is that your left eye? Again, follow me if you can see me. Follow me. Yeah, you can see. Yeah, but you can see. Now follow what I do if you can see. Follow with your hand. I'm getting farther away from you. Wow, look at that.
I can see your hand.
Yeah. You can see my hand, but my face is a little bit blurry. But you can see my nose. You can see my eyes. You can see my hair. My hair. Yes. And my forehead. You can see it, huh? Do you like what you see? This is, don't ask me. Can you imagine? but this is an improvement already, right? You got 70-80% of your vision. And later on, you get another 10%.
It's an installment basis.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Wow. Can you pray for your life? Oh, multiple hearts. What kind? Because hard, you know. Well, but nothing is impossible for the Lord. If he can see, if he can heal your blindness, he can heal your heart also. Amen?
Amen.
Extend your hands again. Lord, that's the heart. That's the heart. In Jesus' name, we come out. Heart to reveal the digits to be gone, and Lord, ask the digits in your heart, because you are the healer. Nothing is impossible for you. Give her brand new heart without any digits. In Jesus' name, I'm the Lord. Thank you, Lord. You are the creator of our heart. You are the creator of our body. And you can recreate us. You can recreate Stila's heart. You can recreate all her organs, all her tissues, all her cells, all her systems in her body. In Jesus' name, amen. Brand new heart in Jesus' name. Brand new heart without the inheritance. In Jesus' name. Come, Father. Come, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Seek our Lord and see our Jesus. In Jesus' name, I seal the healing of Stella's heart in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Now the Lord is prompting me to ask you to judge the
what?
Because you know what? I know that.